Hello.
How you doing?
Opening my water over here, adjusting my microphone, moving my things. I'm tired.
Sorry.
I think I'm like on the verge of like beginning to sort of get sick because I can't possibly get enough sleep, and my throat feels like weird, but not like sore. And then I'm just like exhausted.
Oh, that's no good, eh?
Is that your Canadian accent that you picked up when you were on vacation?
Yeah, I picked it up like I'm the Madonna of the North. But anyway, that kind of pivoted.
Nobody actually talked like that.
No. I mean, actually, some people were just absolutely indecipherable. There was one guy who waited on us at a restaurant. He came over and he said a bunch of stuff really fast, and I couldn't understand what he said. And then afterwards, I unpacked that he had started the sentence with gents, and I had just not been expecting that. So it had thrown off the rest of the the parsing of the sentence.
You missed the first word, and then it all went downhill from there.
Yeah, I was just like, did he just say gents? It apparently caused some sort of brain malfunction, but yeah,
he started with the wrong like bash interpreter in his little header file or something, and then suddenly you had no idea what you were looking at.
Yeah, it is a land of contrasts. I was
I guess in the sense that there's a lot of very bright whites and then some things that aren't bright white.
Oh yeah, it was mostly like a brownish gray and the white. And then sometimes you'd see some green evergreen trees, but you know, hence the name. But yeah, no, there was a lot of brown and dirt. I was not really expecting it. Cars get dirty in snow because the ice in the snow melts, and then all the dirt that was in the snow just sticks to the car. Amazing how that works.
Mm-hmm. It's like you expect rain is going to clean your car, but it doesn't. Usually, just makes it worse.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I had a decent enough time.
don't go overboard with your recommendation.
Yeah.
The photos looked beautiful.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to mush some dogs. Take some Instagram photos.
Well, as I said, apparently, part of the instruction for the dog sledding is no one actually says mush. They say hike. And that's what actually makes the dogs go. And the other words are easy, which makes them theoretically slow down. And then there's whoa. And if you say those words in a high pitched voice, they don't
respond.
Yeah, they don't listen to you. They just go faster. So if you're freaking out about them not slowing down, they go faster. It is interesting how that works. Also, apparently one dog can pull 200 pounds. So six dogs, is a lot of dogs, and, they very effortlessly, pull you, because apparently the sleigh also has very little friction once it gets going. The problem is getting up to speed, and then once you're up to speed, they just go and they're off. Yeah, so that was an experience. Jason had wanted to do that. I had been reluctant because I was like, oh no, the poor dogs, and like, you know, I don't want to stress them out and unduly and whatever. And then of course find out that the place is like a, you know, they take in rescue things and adopt dogs, and also put the dogs up for adoption, but put them in retirement if nobody adopts them, so they just take care of the dogs for free, etc. And so I was just like, you know, I guess it's not so bad ethically. I'm fine with the situation, whereas at the beginning I thought that perhaps I would not be.
The poor dogs.
Mm-hmm. The poor dogs. Also, apparently husky dogs are a wide variety of things, because apparently it just means you just like bred something near being sort of wolfish with something else, and so some of them basically just look like chow chows, you know, the big fluffy dogs.
Yeah, the fluffy dogs.
Yeah, one of them was named Black Sabbath, because he was, you know, of a color that would inspire you to call him Black Sabbath. But he was very fluffy. I liked him.
You just used a lot of words to describe the dog's fur as black.
Yes. Well, I was trying. I don't know. I was trying to be very delicate to describing this dog, but yes, it was very large and fluffy. And I like that one the most. Although Jason didn't care for him because he wasn't Alaskan Husky like enough, like Optimus Prime was.
He wasn't purebred enough.
Yeah, he didn't look as you would sort of imagine the stereotypical Husky dog to look.
So he wasn't Instagrammable, is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, he was just sort of big and fluffy. And he, when we were resting, walked over underneath a tree and started eating part of the tree.
Maybe he was hungry.
It wasn't really like eating it. He was just like ripping small twigs off the bottom of the tree and then just throwing them and then ripping another one off. So I don't know. Maybe he was bored being stopped. But
that takes out his aggression that way. Are you allowed to pet the dogs, or does that break their concentration?
No. You can pet any of the dogs except there are some that are getting used to being trained, so they're a little skittish, and so they have bandanas, and those are the ones you're not supposed to pet.
They have bandanas, like the little bright, colorful ones that they give your dog when you get it back from the groomer. Like we got one with some shamrocks on it after we got him a bath near St. Patty's Day.
Oh no, it was either blue or gray. So again, land of contrasts. Tell me more about PD's shamrock bandana because of his Irish heritage.
Yeah, exactly. he's apricot, so he's kind of a redhead. But you know, when you take a dog to get a bath, usually if you take him to a good little groomer place, they return them with a nice cheap little bandana or some sort of like scarf looking thing tied around their neck to make them look extra adorable, and they're all happy and smiling. There's actually a photo on Amanda's Instagram of PD with his little St. Patty's Day thing that we took right after he got a bath, but we saved the photo obviously for the festive St. Patty's Day post.
I missed that one.
Yeah. He likes to run out into the backyard and bask in the sun. Like I've never known a dog that was cold so much or just enjoyed being warm so much that he just goes and lays in dirt and grass and sunbathes, which is not a thing that dogs should do if they want to stay smelling nice. So we have to get him relatively frequent baths.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least you live in an appropriate climate to make him happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the inside of the house is not to his liking because we try to keep it cooler, and then he tries to lay in the sun, the little streaming bit of sun that comes through the back door, or as soon as you open the back door, he bolts out and then immediately lays in the dirt, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that would gross me out, I guess, dirt.
But the key with him and most dogs is if you want them to listen to you, you need to lower your voice and make it very loud and booming. And it doesn't really matter what you say as long as you say something loud and forceful in a deep voice. They will stop what they're doing and look right at you.
So you say, whoa, and he stops?
I usually yell Pete, but in a very dark, deep, dark, loud voice. Did I mention that I was
Pete.
Tired in my brain? No, yeah, and a lot of just, you know, hey, single syllable loud noises to get his attention, because he thinks he's gonna catch a bird, because birds hang out in the backyard and are over by the pool pump a lot. But he's never going to catch a bird, but he goes sprinting out there and he starts sticking his nose in all these little lizard holes and stuff. And I don't know, maybe he'll eat a lizard or something if he ever catches it. But, yeah, it's very annoying to have him just like rummaging around through the dirt and trying to like eat animals and horrible things, because it's going to make him sick and he's an idiot because he thinks he's hunting, but he's just a dumb little, mutt of a mixed dog.
Oh, I heard it was not politically correct to use that verbiage.
Mutt?
Mm.
Is that no longer the appropriate word to describe a dog of multiple breeds?
Apparently not, I guess. But, I mean, I just treasure him for what he is.
Well, when you don't really know exactly what they are, that's kind of like the word you use. But,
yeah,
I just
like every photo of him. He looks so derpy. I hopefully that's also appropriate nomenclature. Also
bad. I mean, we'll probably get a slew of Medium articles or, you know, Atlantic articles or something explaining why we're bad. But, you know, he smiles a lot. He's got a very long neck. I like to remind him how long his neck is. And he's got a very long body, but he smiles. A lot of times he looks worried and sad because he's got those little dog eyebrow things going on. But he's a very nice dog.
Well, that's good. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. When he's not trying to eat lizards.
No. Yeah. You should take him to Calgary. There are no lizards.
See if he'll pull a sled.
No, just because there's no lizards. It's too cold for that.
He'll chase a squirrel or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, there were squirrels, and they're weird too, because they're like more chipmunky, but with a smaller bushy tail. So they didn't really look as, I don't know, squirrel-like as I had expected.
What color were they? Because I've recently discovered that there are gray squirrels in addition to brown squirrels.
Yeah, this was kind of a reddish brown, I would say.
Sounds like a good looking squirrel.
I only saw one of them. I saw like four elk. They like being near roads, apparently, which was probably not good for their health. But at least it was a low traffic area. But yeah, that was probably the only wildlife that I really saw was elk. And then like these other birds that kind of looked like blue jays, but were black and white. Those were interesting. I meant to look them up, but I didn't because I just forgot.
You didn't take your bird watching book with you?
No.
And your binoculars?
Birds of the North. No, I did not. I'm a bad naturologist.
In addition to seeing these animals, did you get to eat any squirrel or elk or black and white blue jays?
Well, funny story. So we went to a pizza place that had been reviewed by the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives of the North.
It's a good thing that you went to a pizza place up there in Canada, because I know you guys don't get much good pizza in California.
Well, Jason had wanted pizza, and...
Oh, really? Is this...
Unfortunately, I'm going to say this right now. None of the pizza looks particularly appealing on the internet when you look at it up there. It all kind of looks like Domino's-ish, or like crappy bar pizza.
Their crust was not thin enough for you?
The crust was thin. It just was sort of underdone and didn't really have any structure in it. So it was almost like you know when you get those fluffy the fluffy pitas where there's no pita pocket, but it's just sort of like a fluffy padding.
Mm-hmm.
That was the texture of the crust that we had.
I had some of those today. Those are pretty good when dipped in hummus or garlic sauce or something.
Not as fantastic with pizza toppings. Of course, pizza construction left something to be desired because the cheese slid completely off of it whenever you took a bite. So that was, it's always a hallmark of good construction.
Did you eat it with a fork and knife?
No, I just persisted. Yes, the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives of the North is hosted by a Canadian comedian, quotes, who had his show canceled recently in 2017. Poor guy. Well,
was he boring or problematic?
Oh, boring. So boring. After the pizza experience, we actually caught some episodes of it on Food Network. And apparently it was just like a marathon one day. It was just like, what is this? Like, imagine you removed all of the Guns N' Roses charisma of Guy Fieri. And you just had him look worried as someone was cooking next to him. And
I've seen shows like that.
Yeah, it's really awkward, and I can understand why it was not as popular. Although they did play Guy Fieri Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives episodes on other nights, which was interesting. But anyway, this pizza place was bad, and the point of the story is that Jason had ordered their Caesar salad. I did not read anything about the ingredients of the Caesar salad. He just asked, you know, is it okay if we get a half Caesar salad? And I said, that's fine. And the Caesar salad comes out, and I'm like, what are these little meaty bits in here? It was almost like have you ever had brisola?
What's brisola?
It's basically like I would call it prosciutto but beef. It's probably the easiest way to describe it, like a cured beef that's sliced very thin.
I'm Googling it right now. I want to say yes, because I've eaten a lot of dried cured meats type thing, so probably.
Okay. Yeah, and now imagine it was venison.
Was it like bright red?
Yeah, he didn't tell me, and so I'm eating it, and I'm just like, it's not... It doesn't taste like prosciutto. I mean, it kind of tasted like jerky, just like if you were having turkey jerky or beef jerky or something like that, where it has that like sort of really minerally rich smokiness going on.
Oh, I got some great jerky in the kitchen right here. It was a leftover package of habanero flavored jerky from the barbecue and beer festival, and it is delicious and spicy.
I'm not really a jerky person.
I'm. There's literally nothing that surprises me less than that, but it's still delicious.
I'm more of a jerk. But the
you're just jerky.
Yeah. But, yeah. Master of wordplay.
Yeah. No, you're the jerky. You are.
You ever see that Steve Martin movie, The Jerky? But anyway.
All I need is my meat dehydrated or nothing else. Very tired. I'm going to take a sip of water over here while the audience gets that joke and then laughs and applauds and then, you know, extends their membership or something.
Mm, yeah. We should do some questionable Steve Martin movies again sometime. That being one of them.
he turned into the skid so hard when he started doing his Pink Panther stuff. It's like not even in a look how silly this is kind of way.
Yeah.
Like when he started to get like resentful of the international fame of the stadium tours of the comedy and things, and started just like doing weird things to do weird things. I think that kind of just like altered his DNA forever, and now he makes horrible, horrible movies.
Can't argue with that.
Because, like, you know, he was in those Father of the Brides or whatever, right? Those were fine-ish for the time, but they weren't, like, special. Or,
well,
they weren't particularly, like, career nosedives.
He was also trying to play it a little more straight than...
Right.
A little. A lot more straight than he does when he does his other Steve Martin headlining movies. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, where... It's a little over the top. It's a smidge.
I just fired up his IMDb and I scrolled too fast and I saw that there was a The Jerk, TOO, a TV movie from 1984. He has character credit for writing, but he was not in it. So I was very worried for a moment that he was doing a TV movie that I missed.
His career fell so far that he did a TV movie and then it sprung back all the way up. Did you
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? You got there's some good stuff in here. I actually like Sergeant Bilko for as stupid as it is because it knows it's stupid. You ever see that one?
No, I never saw that one. But I do like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Although I haven't seen it in a very long time, so I might actually hate it. We'll find out someday. I keep meaning to do it for.
Still. Great.
I keep meaning to do it for Thanksgiving because it is theoretically a November appropriate movie.
Boo. Did we talk about My Blue Heaven or did I just rave about it like on the internet a lot?
We had an episode on My Blue Heaven and you made me watch it.
I feel like I remember that, although I feel like there wasn't much to say or you didn't like it.
I didn't love it. And shortly afterwards, I went to San Diego and you asked me several times whether or not I had danced on
Oh, right. Did you go do a merengue at Hotel Del?
No, I did not.
How dare you? We were...
Spoiler alert for the episode that you were on.
Yeah, thank you for ruining that for me. We were going to try and get over there this coming weekend, but too many things going on.
Well, you know, San Diego, so...
I like San Diego. I would go eat another one of those lobster rolls and nothing else from that one place that had the really awful service and all of the fish bones on the wall or whatever it was.
Oh, was that Ironside? Was that the name of that?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lobster roll was good.
Yeah, we did not have that. That place, I had a oyster that had a oyster shell in it and I didn't love it.
So are you a big oyster person?
I am not. an oyster person at all, really. Jason loves oysters.
But you've eaten them on more than one occasion?
Yeah, because he loves oysters, and so he's like, I want to order oysters, and I'm like, well, just go ahead. And then he can buy them, like, individually at most of these restaurants. They're like, here you go, $3.50 per each one, or $5 per each one. But he's like, no, you have to have them too. And I'm like, why? Like, there's no, like, limit or anything. But
it's an aphrodisiac, Joe. He can't be the only one that gets, a little randy that evening.
But
no, I have so many logistical questions about oysters, because I don't understand necessarily the appeal of eating them raw, because they're basically, are they alive? Is it one of those animals that go dormant when you, like, put them in cold? Like, what is the experience of eating them? To what degree does one taste and or chew them? And, like, why?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I find them icky and gross, and I don't like them texturally.
Okay.
But what I found is that if you get the really teeny tiny, super small oysters, and there are some that are very small, that those don't bother you as much because you just sort of slurp them back, and that's it. There's no experience.
When you say, I've heard that description before. When you say slurp them back, does that mean you swallow it like medicine? You don't even, like, chew or really taste it. It's just like you're putting food in your body for no purpose.
Yes. Imagine there's an oyster shell in front of you, and it's full of a loogie, and you pick it up.
I don't want to imagine that.
And you reverse hawk the loogie. But you can put some cocktail sauce or a mignonette on it.
So, but here's the thing: at $3.50 an oyster, and ostensibly like a tasty thing that people enjoy, you're not tasting anything. You're just putting food in your stomach. So why wouldn't you just, like, have a Go-Gurt or something?
Incorrect. You are tasting something. There is stuff that comes along for the ride.
Right, but it's you're basically like having like a fish milkshake.
Sort of. I mean, it's not making, well, it's not the same sort of effect.
Okay, well, like, name another thing that you eat without chewing and just, like, slurp down for a similar eating experience.
Crickets. No, not literally crickets. I just meant the sound effect.
I think you have to chew crickets.
Yeah, and water bugs, too, FYI. But
gross.
The experience of eating an oyster is not something that I love. Some people like the really big oysters. I assume they think they're getting their money's worth or something, and they like to chew those suckers. And for the record, Ironside has those really big ones. So when Jason had ordered a half dozen oysters Rockefeller, that's when they come out and they're baked with like cheese and breadcrumbs.
See, that makes more sense to me. Put a bunch of crap on them, bake them, then you could, you know, chew them, whatever. I'm sure they're fine. But, like, the idea of, like, ooh, I'm going to pay a slightly exorbitant amount of money for this delicacy of the sea, which I'm going to just swallow whole and barely taste, like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I mean, I'm not going to argue that it makes sense. I do as I'm told sometimes. I really don't love it. I would never go out of my way to seek out oysters under any circumstances.
But if they were there, you would partake of one as an appetizer in the absence of other potential appetizers.
No, only if it's put in front of me. Which happened on one occasion on this trip. We went somewhere for dinner in Calgary before we went to Banff, and as like the amuse-bouche, if you will, for the tasting course, you had a very tiny oyster that they brought out with a little mignonette on it, and there was one per person. And so it's like, okay, well, you can have both of them. And then Jason said, no, you're eating it. And I said, fine. And so I slurped back the thing. That was it. And then for his birthday dinner, we went to another place that was a steakhouse, and they had oysters from New Brunswick, which Jason was very excited about because he'd never had oysters from New Brunswick.
The capital of bowling pin manufacturing for the world, by the way.
Really?
No, that's not true. It's just Brunswick makes a lot of bowling crap.
Oh, that's a hilarious bowling joke.
Thank you. I worked hard on that. So how many courses was the meal in New Brunswick?
Well, it wasn't in New Brunswick. We were Banff. But the Jason ordered 4 oysters, and I had to have 2. So I had 1 with cocktail sauce and 1 with the mignonette. That was exciting. And I put too much horseradish on the one with the cocktail sauce. Because they gave it to you in, like, there was another oyster shell, basically, full of grated, finely grated horseradish. And
oh, like the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal. Mm. And I thought, well, since there's so much of it here, you must use a significant amount of it.
I get that with the spicy mustard at the Chinese food. We had that the other day, too. Like, they give you this big old tub of it, and it's like, there's literally no way that we could use this much mustard on, like, 4 egg rolls or whatever. So you get a little bold, you take a large bite, and then suddenly you can't see for a couple of minutes.
Well, I didn't have that experience, although there was a lingering pepperiness, I'll say that, to the horseradish. Yeah. No, but that was all. It was all very nice. I have to say, the nicest thing though about that experience was that even though those oysters were $5 Canadian, they were $5 Canadian. So then I got to experience the joy and the wonder of having a stronger currency than another country. Because
I was
going to
say, what's the exchange rate these days?
Basically, everything was 25% cheaper. Is a way of thinking about it. So it helped with a lot of purchase decisions that were made.
You know, I feel like the two of you combined, like Wonder Twins power activate, the two of your superpower is the ability to find a very fine 6-course meal in any city that you go to.
Well, to be fair, he finds them.
It's just like, is there like a special Yelp to find like small plates of weird things that have like colorful foam on them and like shavings of things that you've never heard of?
No, you just find the fancy frou-frou restaurants, and the fancier and frou-frou they are.
Do you just like grab the like the little dollar sign slider and crank it all the way up to the right?
I don't. But again, I said
I'm saying, is that how you find these restaurants? Like, if one were to want to find these restaurants,
I suppose. I mean, basically, the more money you're spending, the more likely it is that they're going to have a tasting menu.
See, but the problem here is like, if you're going just by cost, let's just use terrible Phoenix as an example. If you're going by cost, it's going to be a steakhouse or like a place where you can go get like some stuffed salmon or some giant prawns or something. If you're going by like star ratings, like I feel like Olive Garden has like a 9 out of 10 on Foursquare here. So it's like you can't go by that either. So it's just, you know, how do you choose? What's the criteria that you punch in to find these things?
I don't know. Jason just looks for
hashtag tasting menu,
things.
I guess.
Yeah. It's like best restaurants in Calgary.com or whatever. I don't know. And then he just picks them.
He should aggregate all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, except I feel like it is very niche.
He should just have like a food blog or like a link blog, like that stupid thing I did for San Jose. So we can find all of the various fanciful tasting menus around the globe that he's been to.
Yeah, what is that? YDTW.com/Dan-Jose. Was that it?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
I have my own link shortener thing where I create my own shortcuts for stuff.
Oh, so fancy. But
I usually just type that in and then like guess what I would have done, and then I usually get it on the second try.
Good job. Mm-hmm. It's a good organizational system
for creating manual forwards to
bespoke manual forwards
to my various link blogs.
Yeah
man, I still have a Tumblr out there somewhere. I don't know if my vanity URL still points to my Tumblr.
I have a URL that points to the adopted nickname that had been bestowed upon me, Joe Steele, but it has a hyphen in it because some other jerk bought the one that didn't have the hyphen. And they do nefarious things with it. I don't know.
I was going to say, is it being used for anything or no?
I don't know. I think it basically goes to some unscrupulous squatting, whatever stuff.
Yeah, it's...
don't bother.
It's basically parked.
Yeah.
WW11.JoeSteele. What? I don't even know what that means.
Yes, to give up. But yeah.
Let's track this down. I'm going to view source. Hang on. Let's see if we can figure out what's going on here.
This is exciting.
Yeah. You got a couple websites, right? You got your work thing that you don't really publicize.
Oh yeah, artofjoe.com. That's where the portfolio is. Mm-hmm. And then I got the very fancy twitter.com/JoeSteele. No hyphen for that one. That one's probably contains the work that I'm most proud of.
Your Twitter account is where you put the things you're proud of.
It's where you know I put in a lot of effort.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very, very interesting JavaScript in the header here.
Dan, uh-huh. I'm sure that you have somehow provided your IP address to Russian hackers who are making their way in via some Estonian proxy at this very moment.
They're gonna be at my door in 30 seconds. Gotta get out of here.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you gotta do is you gotta spike it. You know, like,
oh, I gotta type like flu shot or something into my command line.
I don't even remember in GoldenEye when Alan Cummings was Russian. And
that was funny. Invincible, if I recall.
Yes. Till that, you know, incident with the pen.
And yet he had tape on his glasses, but and he twirled his pen, but like clearly he didn't practice twirling his pen before they started shooting because he was very bad at twirling his pen. And then he almost blew himself up.
Yeah. You know, it's just the way the cookie Cummings. I keep insisting upon this, but I want to do a podcast series that is a deep and very thorough look at the film masterpieces that Pierce Brosnan has produced. And
what does that mean aside from a couple of James Bonds and the Thomas Crown Affair?
Well, you're forgetting Mrs. Doubtfire, but
I mean he was a bit player in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was the victim of a run by fruiting. But he was there. He was taking up screen space.
Yeah, he was there. He had his very 90s hair.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, he pulled that look off as well as anyone else, I think. The poofy hair that sort of like covers the tops of your ears.
Yeah, and the squint.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he had a very good squint. I think his squint is entirely how he got James Bond.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Remington Steele is also how he got James Bond, I think. But
that's right. I never watched that, but I forget that he was in that.
Yeah. And
like a little bit of squint, like a pursed lips, a little.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Because I think Remington Steele had been renewed or something or whatever, he couldn't take on the role of James Bond, and so it went to Timothy Dalton for those two disastrous movies that he did. And then it eventually went to Pierce Brosnan.
You know, I fired up the IMDb page for Remington Steele, and he's doing the pursed lips right in the cover art there. They should reboot this. And you know who should play the titular character?
I'm not going to guess myself, but I feel like you're going to guess. You're going to say me because
yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It'll add a little bit of extra authenticity to the role that the steel is in the steel. There's actual steel behind the steel. if you know what I mean.
That's not really. Interesting. Okay. Thanks, Dan.
No, see, that'll be your tagline on the show.
The steel behind the steel.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. After I say every line, Pierce Brosnan wanders into frame behind me.
And then you squint at him until he steps back out of frame, and you can go back to doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
I would watch a good solid 10 minutes of you and Pierce Brosnan squinting at each other.
Well, I mean, 90s reboots are in vogue, and even though that was technically an 80s thing, I think it bled over a little into the 90s.
I can't stop seeing this advertisement for some stupid TV show where there are these wacky, terrible Hollywood guys who are trying to make a TV show, and you got Mark Paul Gosselaar there, and he's like, hey, Dawson's Creek guy, and he's like, I'm not Dawson's Creek guy, and it's awkward pause. It's like, yeah, that's a great joke, everybody. Remember how everyone in the 90s was all the same person and nobody can tell the difference anymore? How awkward would it be if you tried to compliment the wrong person on the wrong show? Oh, God.
I have not seen this advertisement. And that's not an invitation for anyone to send it to me. I prefer to experience all my advertisements naturally.
Considering you don't have television, that's...
I have television by proxy.
You guys still on the DirecTVs?
Yeah, Jason had texted me right before this recording that apparently the DirecTV interface has changed. I don't know the ramifications of this change yet, so I will see what that entails later. How exciting!
I don't think ours has changed yet. Does that mean I should expect a 30-minute long reboot in the next couple of days?
I mean, you're probably going to get that anyways. Zing!
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not windy here yet. So when the wind picks up, then it'll freeze.
Yeah, my favorite
thing.
I don't
know how wind interrupts a satellite, by the way.
My favorite thing about DirecTV is anytime there is a service interruption and it needs to restart, it's like I need to do 5 years worth of work to rebuild the channel guide. And it's like, what? Why? Like, isn't it just like a stream of data that's coming down? Like, what possible reason could there be to just make this take like 20 minutes? Could Google it.
Especially because it says, almost finished or something like that. It'll be ready in a minute or something. It's like, never will.
And it has the little like dots that rotate, although maybe they got rid of the dots. My least favorite thing about the DirecTV interface for the Genie is the use of those flare things and the gradients. You know what I'm talking about?
Gradients, yes. Flare?
When you like load something from on demand and it's like accessing from on demand and just,
oh, we don't even like... I couldn't possibly tolerate speaking to them long enough to order a modem to do the on demand stuff.
Well, Jason did, so it has the, it's kind of funny because it's a Time Warner cable providing the internet service.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, you gotta have a separate cable modem dedicated just for your box so you can watch on demand stuff on your thing.
Yeah, so does.
I'd rather just yell at my dot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I also prefer that as well, but one of the benefits is this is free for stuff. So
for him, it ain't free for us.
What do you mean?
You got to pay an extra monthly cost for your modem.
Oh, he bought his outright.
Well, you're still paying for it.
I guess. I bought my cable modem. It's several years old now, but
I don't mean just like for the regular internet. You have to have a separate modem for the Genie box.
Oh, Jason's doesn't seem to need that.
Unless he's got a fancy new one where they actually integrated a modem into that giant stupid box. But for the one that we have, you got to have a separate cable modem next to it.
I think it just uses the internet in the house.
Mm. Well, you got to have a separate thing. As far as I'm aware.
Yeah, okay.
The intricacies of
things.
The DirecTVs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Nobody's buying DirecTV
nobody
anymore.
Nobody cares about this. Everyone's a cord cutter.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's a DirecTV cutter. Speaking of
what?
I don't know. You're just
looking for a transition?
Looking just
for
looking
a hole
for a transition.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Looking for transitions in all the wrong places.
I enjoy watching TV. I've been thinking about, the weird little TV shows that I have found enjoyment in the past couple of months. And, like, I don't even know how to recommend some of these because they're so odd. Did I tell you about the James Vanderbeek Diplo show?
I've heard of it from another source, but I didn't know it was even out.
Yeah, no, it's over. I don't know if I got to come back for another season, but it happened, you know, several months ago. But I heard him on
some
podcast.
Good marketing.
I heard him on a podcast promoting it or whatever, and I watched it. I DVR'd the whole thing, and I watched like the one that I missed on the Vice app, which is a horrible, horrible app, because it's on Viceland, which is apparently a network. But I enjoyed the show. It's incredibly dumb, and it's like my kind of like dumb on purpose. I love it, that kind of dumb. But it would probably be incredibly insufferable for some people. But I thought it was very interesting, and it was a you know a little 6-episode short run kind of thing, and it was entertaining because he plays a dumb DJ.
All right. Well, he did a good job playing dumb in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Yeah. That I have to say, the name and marketing of that show put me off of it. But the actual show itself was fine. Kristen Stewart was good in it, and she deserved to go on to do the Jessica whatever things she's doing now, Jessica Jones, whatever. The only important part is David Tennant running out into the middle of the street and shouting Jessica at the top of his lungs. That's the part that sticks with you.
That show has Kristen Ritter in it. Who did you say was in there?
Oh, Kristen Stewart. Now I meant Kristen Ritter.
I was like, wait a minute, Kristen Stewart. That's the other girl.
Yes, the other one. I got my Kristens confused.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah. This one's the KRY. I think the other one is not a KRY.
The wires were crisscrossed.
Oh, boy. Those wires are going to make you jump, aren't they?
Dear.
Yeah, she's a KRI, not a KRY.
Yeah.
There's that rapper KRS-One. I never really liked his music, though.
Okay.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
Yeah, there's a rapper.
Not that well-versed.
That was a good show though. I watched that only got like one-ish seasons. It definitely didn't get more than like two.
Right. I can agree with between one and two.
Thank you for your nuanced opinion on the duration of that.
The Good Place got between. I mean, not The Good Place. What was the name of it? The one with what's his face that was like Friends but in Chicago, but it wasn't really Chicago because they shot in LA, but the Friends did the same thing when they didn't really shoot in New York, they shot in LA. What was the name of that one?
Will and Grace.
No.
Good Will Hunting.
No, that's a movie. It's not important, don't worry about it.
Friends in Chicago.
Yeah, it was a short-lived series. One of the Wayans brothers was on it.
You're talking about Happy Endings?
Yes,
a good show.
Yes,
that was a good show.
I had doubts about things, but what was her name? Jane, the character's name, Jane.
Yeah. Eliza Coop. I never remember her real name. She was also on that the last one or two seasons of Scrubs. But you know, the really bad ones.
Oh, I didn't watch those.
Did you watch any Scrubs?
Honestly, only the one where he says apple teeny easy on the teeny.
Wait, you watched the whole episode because of that?
No, I watched the whole episode, and that was my takeaway, was apple teeny easy on the teeny.
Scrubs is a great show. I very much enjoyed Scrubs. I mean, for a time, like revisiting it now is very difficult to do because it's super dated looking, but it was a great show for the time.
I could never really, I was not smitten by it as many others were, but I guess understand the appeal, but
he can't do it all on his own. He's no Superman, as they say. It was a good show.
I liked
you got John C. McGinley yelling at everybody. It was great.
Yeah, grumpy doctor guy. You know what was it? 8 years of no character growth. That works well.
He had some character growth. I mean, you know, a smaller arc than the rest of the folks, probably, but...
Yeah.
I mean, actually, what was Zach Braff's arc? He was in love with what's-her-name, and then at the end, he was still in love with her.
Yeah.
So he,
amazing
he
how that works.
He arced away, and then he arced right back to where he began.
Yeah.
Why can't I remember her name? Elliot Reed is her character name. I can't remember her real name.
It's shame on you. I don't know. You ever see Garden State?
Who hasn't seen Garden State?
I went
to college, Joe. Come on.
I went to college. I was in Snow Patrol.
I've had feelings that I haven't been able to describe except in song.
I own that on DVD.
I think everybody does.
Yeah.
What was the song? 07 in the Waiting Line came on my shuffle yesterday, and I was just like, this is a nice, mellow song, but I can't hear this song and not picture the party scene where he's sitting on the couch and everyone else is moving fast. And it's like, way to go, Zach Braff. You ruined a song for me.
Sorry.
No, it's a good song. I still enjoy listening to it, but it's just like, I don't know about you, but I have those songs where like you hear the song and you rewatch the scene as you're listening to it. Like it's you can't not. I suppose that probably happens to you with like the Wrath of Khan soundtrack or something.
Yes. Da-da-da. Dun 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 da-da-da. Yeah,
the
ship is coming in close, and then they have the little targeting thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two-dimensional thinking.
Mm-hmm. No, it was the surprise attack.
Whatever. It's nobody. Nobody cares. It's.
I mean, you cared. You brought it up.
I didn't mean to bring it up for.
Now a three-hour podcast about Wrath of Khan.
3 hours and 17 minutes. I think right 17.
Sure. It's your favorite episode.
God, what number was that? That was long.
I think it was in the '80s.
I thought it was like in the '50s. All right, Khan is spelled wrong. Number 88. Old
See?
People problems.
Yeah.
This is 3 hours and 10 minutes. Was the 7 minutes post show? Did that get cut off?
Sure.
Hmm. Anyway, I was gonna use that as a segue to our wiki. We have a wiki.
Oh, that was a surprising development.
This is Brian Hamilton's fault. Did I see that?
No, it's a series of people's faults.
it's everyone's fault but our own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a wiki. So it's just how that cookie Cummings. But so the wiki was formed by some listeners based on some provocation by Dan Morin in the general room of the Incomparable member Slack. Which I don't participate in very often because I find it is high traffic. So it was a bit of a surprise to me to find out that things were starting to gain traction. And then a listener, Rai, he took it upon himself to create a page for Defocused. And then Brian Hamilton decided to break the rules of decorum and write that Detention is a good movie in there. And that was his contribution. There's a wiki, so I can remove it, Brian.
He wrote that in ours?
Yes, in ours.
Well, how great the movie Detention is. I see that there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. That's linked to our episode. I thought it would be linked to the movie Detention.
No, because it's all about us. It's a wiki about us.
Mm-hmm. I added a little clarification. Rai said that we mostly discuss foods eaten and interior temperatures, but he left out humidities. And humidities is a very important part of the discussion as I look over now, and it is 74.1 Fahrenheit, 22% humidity in my office right here.
78.4 degrees Fahrenheit, 36% humidity.
How are you alive?
I turned on the AC very briefly when I got into the door. Apparently... you're having a bit of a warm spell, which is interesting because I was in a place that was describing temperatures as -1 degrees or -5 degrees. Of course, they were using Celsius, so that was fun math. But yeah, that was an experience to come back to this.
Mm. Did you turn on your remote air conditioner from Canada so it would be nice and cool by the time you got home?
No, that would have been a lot of money on the electrical bill. But I
it would have been like $30 for you.
Well, I currently get bill warnings from my electric company provider, who is freaking out currently that I am $4 over the goal that they have set for me of $12. So that's nice.
Must be a real heat wave coming through.
Yeah. Southern California Edison likes to do this cool thing where they send you an email where they have arbitrarily set a goal for your electricity usage. They don't consult you or ask you for any input, and then they send you warnings throughout the month that you have exceeded the arbitrary goal that they set. Yeah, I'm unclear on as to who this is benefiting exactly. But yeah, it's always fun.
Are these emails?
Yeah, emails.
Oh, then you just need yourself a new Gmail filter. Send to trash.
Yeah, well, this is going to something that I had from before I had my Gmail, because I've been in this apartment for a very long time.
Send to trash.
Yeah. Mm. Anywho.
I like setting air conditioning bill goals and then just watching our power bill go right past it.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, $17 in my electrical bill, I'm not really going to freak out about. It's because, you know, it's less than a $20 bill. But that's just how that cookie crumbles. But I can understand how in different climates it would be a lot more money, and how that would mean more to certain people. But I spend relatively little on it, so I don't need panicking emails about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a regex in your send to trash then. So as long as the bill is under $25, send to trash.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, maybe alert you.
I don't care.
You might have to take up a second job if you got like a $30 AC bill.
Yes, yes. Cut back on my oyster purchases.
Yes. God. Not oyster the food, not oyster the person, right?
Yes. Yes. Dan is, of course, dear listeners.
Don't reveal the secret.
Dan is referencing a nickname that has been assigned to somebody. So he likes to refer to them as oysters sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's not a nickname for either one of us.
No.
We're cool. We're cool people.
What was his last name? Oyster what?
I don't remember.
Oyster Bronson, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
Anyway. Yeah, if you ever do need a second job for your oyster addiction, I could probably throw some VFX work at you. I might have some more things to do this year.
Very, are you sure,
very much
Dan?
Looking
might,
forward to having like a regular amount of work.
You might have to shell out quite a lot of money.
It's okay. I can I can shuck and jive and give you some of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're really bad at this.
Yes. Pearls before swine, though. So.
Is that a saying?
Apparently. I think they named a comic strip after it at some point. But
there's a comic strip called Pearls Before Swine?
I believe so.
Also, what is that in reference to?
I don't know. I should probably know these things before I say them on podcast.
Eat your oysters before you eat your pork products?
I don't know. You know.
I don't.
Wine before liquor, never been sicker, I guess. But I don't know.
Pearls before swine. Oh, it's a Bible thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting. I love making Bible references. Pearls do not give swine. What is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. That's one of those cheerful Bible verses. About mauling. Also, wouldn't it be kind of funny to see the swine all turn on the pearls? Like, you know, because they'd be like scattered like marbles, like in Home Alone, when they're all trying to run on the... Just go whoop up in the air, and the swine falls on its back.
So it's like an escape tactic in the event that you're being chased by a bunch of rabid pigs?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's honestly probably the best way to set up the traps in my house so that I can... thwart people who are robbing a toy store.
So if you're being chased by some pigs and you need a couple extra minutes to set up your traps in your house, just throw down some pearls in front of them and watch them like slip and slide and fall down for a few minutes.
Yes, from my ample pearl supply.
That is the police coming to take us away for this horrible episode that we've just produced.
Yes, well, it's the Beverly Hills PD. But anyway. You know, I just not much of a pearls person, I guess. Or I don't really like. things described
you
as...
You don't wear your pearls out on occasion?
No. I mean, I just have... ever since that horrible thing happened to the Waynes, I can't even think about it.
Plus, I mean, pearls are ostensibly white. You can't wear them after Labor Day.
Batman.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Did you get Batman? I just want to make sure you got Batman.
You don't want to wear your pearls in case you accidentally get murdered outside of an opera or something.
Yes. Secret identity. Batman. Bruce Wayne. Every movie. Pearls scattering on the ground. Roses dropped to the ground.
It's very interesting that every Batman movie tries to find a new way to illustrate like how the pearls are going to fall to the ground in slow motion. Like, one of the more recent ones, wasn't it like the strand of pearls got caught like on the backside of the gun, so when he pulled it, like the slide action of the gun came flying back and broke the pearl necklace, versus like the old one where like the guy was like trying to take the pearl necklace off of her and then shot her or something?
Oh god, I can't even remember that. What was that from?
The one where the gun slide pulled it?
Yeah.
I think that was probably
was that the Nolan one?
No. That was definitely one of the more recent ones. Probably Batman or Superman or something.
Oh, yeah. That sounds Zachy.
Yeah. It was very slow motion. Sauce is saying Batman versus Superman as well.
Okay. I was wondering, did you bother to watch Justice League? I have not.
Not yet, no. I'm still catching up on the movies that came out in December. I feel so bad. Like, I got a movie pass for Christmas, and I still haven't used it once. I haven't seen a single movie because I just haven't gone, but most of them are for rent now. Like,
it's okay. You're subsidizing everybody else.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Is going to stay in the black.
They're not going to stay in the black in the slightest. what did we just rent that was one of the newer releases? I gotta click on my Letterboxd. Oh, we just watched Jumanji. It was fine.
Oh, I heard a lot of people say it was fine, and also it made a lot of money. And I heard a lot of
people really excited about it, and I watched it and was just like, yeah, whatever. It's everything you would expect it to be and nothing more.
I frowned when people said that, but I have bigger, more important fish to fry. So.
Mm. Well, you don't fry your oysters though. We also watched the Lego Batman movie. That one was kind of fun.
I'm going to offer a controversial opinion. I've also seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be the best Batman movie minute per minute of the Batman movies.
Mm. I don't know that I am able to have that opinion because it's very silly. And yes. I don't know that genre warrants silly. Like
who dresses like a bat, Dan. It warrants silly.
Yeah, I don't know if it warrants silly. Like maybe this is why I don't like the
dress like a bat and fight crime
movies.
My mother was killed and there are pearls everywhere.
Yes, I know. The commentary on the Batman character and franchise is spot on and fantastic. I just don't know that it advances the character or franchise at all. If the goal was to like shame everyone into never making a Batman movie again, like totally job done, whatever. It was fun and like people feel stupid for making Batman movies now. But I don't know. It was fun. Oh. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. The third act is a mess, but I had a more enjoyable experience watching that than I have had watching any other Batman movie, really. So I applaud it for that reason. And I don't necessarily need Batman movies to be super serious.
No, Batman needs to be serious. Otherwise, like, what are you even doing there? We all have to buy into this premise. Otherwise, we all feel stupid.
Yeah, no, you don't want your identity to be tied in any way to a guy who dresses like a bat and fights crime at night and has a young child who is his associate crime fighter. And then that kid grows up and does something else, and he has another kid, and he just has a series of small boys that fight crime with him over a period of time. There's nothing weird about that.
Were you making air quotes when you said fight crime?
Well, I mean, how much of it is fighting crime, and how much of it is the rotating justice system of throwing people in an Arkham Asylum and having them walk out?
It really, what it is just incredibly committed cosplay.
It is something that is definitely about the theatrics of it. And so I always That's one of the things I don't like about the Nolan movies so much, especially by the time you get to the third movie, because it is so self-serious about it. Insert your "why so serious" joke here, but it takes the entire premise way too seriously, and tries to say basically like, "Oh no, it's not. This isn't some dumb thing for kids. This is for serious adults." And it's like, no, it isn't. Yeah.
The third one was difficult because the stakes continued to ramp up to the point that the you're trying to stop a nuclear explosion from going off in Manhattan, basically. So it has to be serious because of that, but then everything else is still sort of just like trying to fit into that. Like it works best when Batman is dealing with chaotic psychopaths. Like, I mean, I think that's why the Joker is the best bad guy for him, because he's there to ruin everyone's day. Like, there's no real rhyme or reason to it. It's chaos for chaos sake mostly. So but when you put, like, I mean, Batman's not going to be fighting, you know, the aliens that come out of the hole in the sky in Avengers or something. Like, that would be an idiotic movie to watch.
There is a line of comic books where Batman fights aliens from the Alien franchise and Predators and stuff. Anyway, what I'm saying is I can't take anything seriously that involves Batman.
I mean, he would have a better
Batman.
Shot against a Predator than Danny Glover did, but that's about it. He could probably get some Kevlar bat suit material that is also like somewhat acid resistant.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you, but don't look at the Wikipedia page that explains the story arc for this.
Boy,
because
did you know I was just about to click on the Wikipedia page?
I know you, Dad. You've clicked on several Wikipedia pages
that,
during
man.
The course of this the podcast. But it's one of those things where there is a certain amount of Batman stuff that is wish fulfillment, where people are like, yeah, this is the character I identify with, and so he has to succeed at everything, and he has to be super dark and serious about everything.
Saying the nerds are reading the comic book with one hand while the other one might be under the desk?
I did not say that, but you
I'm
have said that.
For clarification, that's exactly what you meant by that previous statement, Mr. Steele.
objection, Your Honor.
By the way, Law and Order SVU, this is a little tangent on the objection, Your Honor. Law and Order SVU is constantly playing in this house because Amanda loves it. Every single court scene is exactly the same. The prosecutor guy says something that is wildly out of line. The defense lawyer says something that's wildly out of line. The prosecutor says objection. The defense lawyer says withdrawn, and the judge bangs the gavel and says sustained or whatever. Like every single line of questioning always ends with some like wild accusatory thing, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, withdrawn. I'm just trying to make a point." It's the worst, most annoying thing in the world, because you know exactly what they're going to say. Like, there's this routine, like, they copy and paste, like, four lines of dialogue for every single scene.
Everything about that show is very predictable.
Mostly. But,
a lot of people find it comforting, the predictableness of it, and also seeing bad people get punished is a thing that people enjoy. So.
Well,
sometimes people are folding laundry, or they're putting off going to run errands, and USA has a marathon going, and
they
so you started watching
marathon.
The episodes,
every
you
Sunday,
gotta stay to the
Sunday.
End.
Look, there's nothing comforting about the show, because it usually starts with horrible things, so that's, I dislike it.
Wait, you mean a dead body, or horrible violation of a human being before the opening credits doesn't do it for you?
And that's what I'm saying. The worst part about it is they go from the end of one episode to like one title card to the beginning of the next episode. So you have about 15 seconds at most before you get hooked by the next premise. So if you don't hit that like change channel button fast enough, you're in it for another 60 minutes. And it is like, they know what they're doing. They know that they're hooking you there. They are the tobacco industry of television shows.
You should really be angry at Dick Wolf.
Angry at Dick Wolf. How dare you, Dick?
Should send him some feedback. I'm sure he would appreciate it. But I mean, he honestly has not been that successful in this field of late, because almost every TV series he started after SVU has been canceled or will shortly be canceled. So he hasn't had a run of anything like the original Law and Order or the current SVU.
What else has he tried to do lately?
There was Law and Order Trial by Jury, Law and Order, I don't know, there's a whole bunch of Law and Orders that never took off and materialized into anything. And then Ryan Murphy came onto the scene and he's like, I can do crime stuff. And then he drank Dick Wolf's milkshake.
So he's doing these Chicago PD, Chicago Med things,
yeah,
Chicago
yeah, yeah.
Justice. I know a guy who works on Chicago PD. He's the cinematographer. I don't watch any of these shows. I assume they're good. They've been on for a while.
It's a real close friend then.
No, we worked together on the first movie I ever worked on.
What was the first movie you ever worked on?
I don't want to triangulate friendships, so I'm not going to say. It's not on my IMDb page, so there, people. Wait, I don't think it is.
You do realize that everyone can go look up what movies that guy worked on and then triangulate you.
You can try.
Okay.
You'll never catch me alive.
Anyway, I'll be really happy when somebody adds it to your IMDb page.
It's not like a wiki, right? You can't just like click a button and be like,
totally
add Dan.
Yeah, you can add credits. Like, you can add credits for somebody else. It was just how many of mine have materialized.
Oh.
I did not put them there.
I should add some of the things that I do want on there. Wait, no, this isn't the one. What am I looking at? This isn't the one he works on. What am I looking at?
Okay.
Oh, it's not Chicago PD. It's the other one.
Chicago Blue?
No, that was NYPD.
And I thought there was a thing. What's the one with Tom Selleck?
Oh, Blue Bloods?
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, it's also got the one of the Wahlburgers in there.
Ugh.
Right? Isn't he on that one?
I don't know. I don't watch these things, Dan.
Well, you
should. Watch Canadian Food Network TV shows.
Yeah, Donnie Wahlberger.
Oh, dear.
Bridget Moynihan.
I'm sorry, Bridget. I liked you and the other stuff that we've seen, so you deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is a steady paycheck, so there is that to look forward to.
8 years running, my God.
Wow. You know, sometimes I see occasionally, like if you are perusing through THR variety Twitter streams or something, and you see stuff pop up every now and then. It's like such and such a show renewed for its 17th season. You're like, what? How is that even still on the air? You're like, you would thought it must have been canceled long ago because it was so horrible. But for some reason, it still has sustained life beyond any illogical reason for it to exist.
Yeah, I love these shows that do like six seasons a year too. So they're in like season 56 or some crap.
Well, that's mostly like the HGTV reality shows and stuff, or like The Bachelor, which blows my mind because you get people who are just like, oh man, it's the new season of The Bachelor. It's like, didn't that just end like 3 weeks ago? Like, how are you? Like, who's Ari? I don't care.
I have a very, very personal story about The Bachelor at the moment.
Is Amanda watching The Bachelor right now?
No, it's over. But apparently, one of the people who was on The Bachelor is some sort of fitness instructor who will be doing some sort of fitness type thing in the coming weekends in Arizona, and she will be attending with a friend.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's a good photo opportunity / exercise session.
Yeah.
Whatever. Are we done?
On that cheerful note.
Cut all of this out. Just throw this episode away.
Yeah.
Blue Bloods. It's your Tom Selleck. Remember when he shaved his mustache for a little while?
It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His face looks weird.
Wasn't he in the Kevin Kline movie
In and Out.
With the shaved mustache?
Yeah.
What was the name of that one?
In and Out.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. I don't know. The shaved mustache is not...
It wasn't his look, no.
No, he has a mustache face.
He does have a mustache face. It's because his eyebrows are basically mustaches. You need it for balance. Oh my God, have you? By the way, I'm just scrolling through his IMDb. Have you seen Three Men and a Baby recently?
No, I haven't. Do you know who directed Three Men and a Baby?
I feel like I knew this. No,
Leonard Nimoy.
That's right. We need to. This movie, my God, Ted Danson, Steve Guttenberg. Like, Steve Guttenberg's a ladies' man in this movie. Like, no.